Please pull up a seat and wind down. Was your sojourn on Rakenjima a pleasant one? The Golden Witch has invited you to a tea party. We hope you choose to attend.
Hello and welcome to a hidden tea party.
That's tea spelt T H Y, tea party.
Not the hidden thy party. Dear listeners, we have been having some spelling shenanigans, which I believe is going to interrupt our introductions.
I'm so sorry. If you follow us on Twitter, you saw the art that I produced. That's a panel from the manga of Courtney as Beatrice and I as Battler. And I edited the text box to say it like stylized. You are incompetent. First time I did that, spelt incompetent wrong. This is a running theme. I spelt it incompetent.
Yes, incompetent with an I instead of the E.
And then yeah. We just had the moment of realizing that where did the U come from in fandom of the beautiful, beautiful episode of our last podcast?
Courtney fandom star thought hell. Really not sure on that one, gang.
I think we have to make it Courtney fandem star.
Fandem. But where's the E?
Get rid of the. You could get rid of the vowel entirely and just fandom.
Fandom. Oh, oh my god, like a Flutter song?
That's what they should be calling their next song, Courtney Fandom Star Thought Hell.
I did also air the idea that it's Ouncen for the final time.
Yeah, Ouncen for the final time, T H Y N E. So it's really getting there now, isn't it?
That's the rules of anagram, right? Instead of solving an anagram, you just make the anagram fit what you want.
Yeah, yeah. And what you wanted was Courtney Fandom Star Thought Hell.
Which is what we're in now, the seven layers of thought hell.
And that's apparently what Ava worked out and was like, this is where the gold is.
No wonder she said, is it okay for this to be the answer? No, it wasn't.
It all adds up because of the seven sisters of purgatory. We are in hell and they are thought.
And I just like the idea that Ouncen for the last time is like an excerpt from Kinzo's upcoming cookbook. And he was like, let's put that in there. That'll really get him.
Cooking with Kinzo. I wonder what Kinzo's making. Maybe it's soup.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
Soup cookbook.
I should come up with a soup recipe that's called Ouncen for the last time.
Yes, you should.
And then sell it to our listeners on Etsy.
Yes.
Stay tuned. Merch idea.
So our merch, I think, now includes a soup cookbook, a human soup chair t-shirt, and an edition of Cluedo with Umineko characters pasted over the top of it. This is a wonderful
store.
I'm
thinking... New t-shirt idea. We have Ouncen for the last time written on top, and then below it says Courtney Fandom Star Thought Hell. I really feel like we can make a lot of money off of this.
Front and back.
Yes.
Front and back.
Yeah. Incomprehensible from both directions.
Is that incomprehensible with an I or an E?
With a U.
Incomprehensible.
I'm now also thinking potentially matching booty shorts set.
Oh,
with
yes.
You know.
Oh, if we did ever do anything in person, I'm gonna have to get booty shorts that say incomp.
Yes. Yes. Merch idea.
And I'm gonna have to get some that say soup. Soup shorts. Soup booty shorts.
Soup tea shorts.
I was really hoping you were gonna get booty shorts that just said ounce.
An ounce of ass.
We should stay on track. We can't spend this whole episode talking about merch ideas.
No, we didn't actually introduce ourselves either.
Can my beautiful hosts please introduce themselves?
Hi, I'm Jess. My pronouns are they, them, and I can't anagram.
Yeah.
I think we've already established that.
My name is Rowan. My pronouns are they, them, and I am upset by the amount of maths that this book includes. Forget letters
and numbers.
And numbers in a book about reading. Hate that.
Mm-hmm. A book about reading.
About reading.
I love my book about reading.
Oh. The hysteria has set in, hasn't it?
Yeah, I was up very late. I think we need to get back on track.
Yeah, Courtney does have a date tonight, so... Wait, shit. Someone does have a date tonight.
I'm going to use my magical power of editing to change the cat box.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. It's fine.
That's fine. True.
Someone has a date tonight.
Someone has a date tonight.
Yes.
A date with my sofa. I'm going to be watching a movie.
Adorable. So last time, we're still covering up as far as the witch's courtroom. So again, don't worry if you're reading along. Last time, we just got to Ava discovering gold.
Mm-hmm.
And as she leaves her gold discovery, she bumps into none other than Rosa, who also seems to have worked it out.
Yeah, and Rosa's just like, oh, damn, I shouldn't have given you that hint, should I?
No. Rosa also says that she worried too much about the part about the Sweetfish River and it didn't matter that much. And then Ava says, no, it's an excellent hint. So
yeah, the Sweetfish returning to, like, going to the sea and returning, that was really important. And I was like, oh, what does that mean?
It does make me wonder if the entrance to the caves is somewhere near the shoreline. I'm fixated on this shoreline idea. I've been shoreline pilled. I'm no longer, Chapel is no longer my best friend. I'm shoreline pilled.
Other things that are six letters, shrine.
Oh, because
that's
my
a
God.
Place on the island. I don't know if it has any connection with Shikinzo, though.
But it does with Beatrice and Kunizawa.
It does with Beatrice. Yeah.
Ooh,
I'm not sure she would describe it as beloved, though. Because it kind of, it's her prison.
Well, maybe it's the town, right? Like a town where there's like a bunch of spirits being trapped, like a metaphorical town. Because I wonder where the shrine and Kuwadorian are in relation to
each other. In relation to each other, yeah, we don't actually know that. But the shrine is near the sea, we do know that, because you can see it, they can see it from the boat when they arrive.
Yeah. Sorry, I've just had a realization. I'm going to write it down. I've got some stuff that's going in the master doc for rap party. Shit.
But
and
yeah.
The shrine is common knowledge. Like, you wouldn't need to be an insider in the family to know about the shrine. You would just need to know a little bit about the island.
Yeah, all of them know about it, I think, at that point. Yeah, Rosa and Ava, really, they don't give us any more hints apart from that, which is really rude of them. And they move straight on to talking about how it would be really useful for either of them to kill the other right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of talk themselves out of it, saying that then, you know, this Rudolph and Krauss could use it as blackmail.
Yeah, they'd be like, nah, that would be too much, wouldn't it? Murder would be too much, right? right? And both of them go, yeah, yeah. And then they walk back into the room, not showing their backs to each other.
Yeah. I think Rosa asks to see the gold and Ava's like, oh, go on then. I really do want to look at it again. And she goes down and she's like, this is how much it would be in yen.
Let's talk about that. And they also then talk about, so they leave and then they walk back, and we obviously don't get to see where they're walking back from because that would be too spoilery, but like we see them like coming back up on the guest house.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're talking about like what they do then, because apparently at the conversation they had at night was basically saying, if anyone finds out where the gold is, we tell everyone. But Ava's like, no, I think it'll be really important how we handle this from here, that information. I want to hide the gold's discovery for now, because technically this is Krause's island and the gold is on this island, and I don't want him to know about it until we've worked out how to get it liquidated in a way that will make it sure that he doesn't have full control over it. And they have a bit of an argument about it.
They do. They do. They're like both accusing the other one of being like horribly greedy, and they're like,
yeah. They're like, oh, well, you just want to make sure I don't take all of it, or like, and I'll say, you just want to make sure that you get a cut of it, and
yeah. I think we hear from someone's perspective that like they see in the other one's eyes the greed of somebody talking about a vast sum of wealth or something, and I'm like, ooh, getting the claws out.
So they kind of basically, Eva basically says like, no, let's not tell them, and Rosa basically says, okay, like, I won't tell them. I will try to the best of my ability, she says. She will support Eva and not tell anybody until the island open, like until the boat comes the next day.
Yeah.
She's basically giving her like a day ish.
Which does make some sense, because I feel like if you had, if you knew that where the gold was, but you had an idea that it wasn't rightfully yours, you might decide to go on a murder rampage, kill everyone else on the island, and then use the vast sums of gold to cover the murders at a later date, because nobody knows to come to the island yet. They've not called the police yet. Nobody knows.
Well, I think as well, like Krause could, as the head of the family right now, be like, well, I own everything. I own this island, so I own anything that's on the island, and the gold's on the island, so it's mine.
Yeah. In some sense, if I'll be, like, annoying.
Yeah. But yes, it's also like, then it means that the only two people who know where the gold is are Ava and Rosa.
Yes.
And I'm sure that won't be relevant.
No.
No. Speaking of, we cut back to the gold, where the young Ava is freaking out over the idea of having to share it with anyone. And then Beatrice shows up and is like, hey, guess what? You're a witch now.
Yeah.
You win.
You're the new golden witch. You won. And we move to this coronation ceremony.
Yeah, and it's like all the goat men are there. Lambda Delta and Burncastle are there. Rodove's there. And they're all going like, woo, new witch.
Mm. Young Ava gets a new outfit and is coronated as Beatrice, and we shall be referring to her as Ava Beatrice from this point
onwards. Yeah, she gets her little magical girl transformation. Yeah. And like the portraits change from old Beatrice to Eva Beatrice doing a cool pose. Yes.
She has a magic staff now.
This
with
the one-winged eagle on it.
Confirms my theory earlier that the idea of Beatrice is a mantle that you can inherit.
Yeah.
That like upon discovery of the gold and mastery of the island, you become the golden witch Beatrice.
Yeah.
The like Midnight Queen of Rokenjima or whatever they call her. And yeah, Ava has managed to do this, which is the reason I will now be accusing Ava of every murder.
Yeah.
Till the end of the episode.
Makes sense. I think it raises the question, what is original Beatrice? What's her real name?
Kinzo.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorted. Fixed.
Because Kinzo's the original, like, thingy of the island.
Yeah. Does make sense.
Yeah. Kumasawa and her family were, like, in control of the island. She was really connected to it. She's teacher Triche, Virgila. And then we have Beatrice Prime, which is Kinzo. And then we have Ava Triche.
But yeah, and then Ava Beatrice inherits all of Beatrice's furniture. So Renove, the goat men, all of the stakes as well. And also, the witches have a little conversation. So Lambda Delta says that she, to become the new Beatrice, you needed to be recommended for succession by a great witch. And Lambda Delta did that for Ava Beatrice, being like, yeah, I believed, like, you did cool magic there with all of that, like, becoming the head stuff and believing in yourself. And Burncastle turns up and went, I didn't recommend you. I thought it was a coincidence.
Which we love.
Which is great. Love. So that's I like that as a fun tidbit there. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Meta Battler and Beatrice just have a clapping competition while watching.
Yeah, Vatla's like, I don't really get what's happening here, but I guess congratulations on Ava.
So he's like, clap, clap, and then Beatrice is like, I will clap also, and then they like try and clap harder and faster than the other one, and I'm like, come on, guys, like,
clapping those cheeks, am I right?
Oh. Yeah, I'm like, do we need to remind Battler that he was clapping his cheeks on the end of her leash at the last end of the last episode?
Amazing.
Like, she is not your friend, babe.
What are you up to, Battler?
But yeah, that's all very surreal. And Meta Battler's like, no, it's fine. I don't need to. I don't need to refute that any of this is happening because this is just your nonsense. Your magic theory nonsense. Virgil and this isn't real.
This is a pageant or distraction of some kind. I think she like points out that maybe it's even fake within like witch terms. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's set dressing. Ava solved the riddle and this is just like a fun thing she's kind of decided to do.
Yeah. And it is pretty fun, I'll admit.
It is pretty fun. And Ava Beatrice seems really quite happy about being a witch.
Yeah.
Well, she thinks she was a witch before because she did magic, but now she's a great witch. Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
I do wanna say about her, like, I'm curious as to whether the human explanation of all of this includes the little Ava character. Like, do we need to... Does that whole character disappear in a human interpretation? Or is it like, this is her kind of imaginary younger self that she still has, but it's not a witch because she doesn't have that power?
So, obviously, remember to keep in mind, there are no more than 18 people on this Rock and Gym.
Yeah. I'm willing to believe that this is like, Ava's created a like a tulpa, essentially. Or like an extra person in her mind that she like talks things out with.
Yeah, I was wondering actually as well whether it was a kind of like trauma response, fragmented child personality kind of thing. Yeah. Not that I know anything about that from my therapy, but that's the thing that can happen. I don't know how relevant she will be to the rest of the story or whether it is just kind of like a way of showing Ava working stuff out in her head, basically.
Ava goes into a mind palace, clip art starts floating past her head. She solves the riddle.
But also, yeah, like, given the childhoods that all of these characters have, like, I would not be surprised if each of them have some really, like, some quite big trauma coping mechanisms and stuff to do with their personality and stuff that's going on. Yeah.
Already believe that the writer of Umineko and Echo has a pretty good grasp on like child development theory and ideas of childhood trauma. So yeah, I can completely buy into this.
I'll talk a bit about it later as well because there's another thing that reminds me of it later on. But yes, I think that we go back to the real world, don't we?
For a bit, yeah.
Yes, we do. We're back in the guest house. Rose is annoyed because Maria's being really loud and she can't find her sedatives.
Yeah, she's like, where are my special child sedative pills? I'm run out. And I'm like, hang on a minute. Everyone's like,
yep.
Rudolph's like, don't you have the child sedatives? And she's like, I'm out of the child sedatives. And I'm like, okay, everyone's really cool with the concept of child sedatives here.
Not about that.
I mean, actually. I suppose it was the 80s, but it is, it's still a bit...
If yikes. You grew up in the 80s, tweet the pod. Did your parents sedate you?
I hope not.
I don't think many of our listenership did grow up in the 80s, but I do want to know. Write in.
I perhaps know some people who grew up in the 80s. I'll text them. I'll see.
Yeah, quiz them. Can you send some texts now? We'll hot story developing right here on Hidden Tea Party.
I'm not randomly sending a text to somebody that I don't talk to very often, being like, hi, quick question, did your parents ever sedate you?
When you were being really annoying on an island.
And can I do that to you now, like as an adult, because you're still really annoying.
But yeah, it's like... They all have this big, like, there's this big kind of thing. Rose is really embarrassed because Maria is making loads of noise about this rose. And I'm like, sorry, Maria is making a lot of fuss about the rose and stuff. And I'm like, has anyone just, like, it takes a really long time for anyone to suggest that maybe they should just go look at it.
Yeah.
Because that would solve the problem.
Yeah. To be fair,
but they're all just like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And yeah, then that naturally that doesn't work, and they're all really surprised about it.
And during this time, Ava and Hideyoshi have gone to a guest room because Ava's feeling very under the weather.
Yeah, she says she has a fever because she's tired because they haven't had... they're all like doing this like, oh, I don't want to sleep. I'm not tired even though I've been up all night. Because they don't really trust each other. But yeah, I'm just like, can you get a fever from sleep deprivation? Or is this something else? What's going on? Has she been poisoned? Is she faking an illness? What's happening? Like, I'm sus about this.
It's pretty sus, but no one seems to stop her from leaving.
No.
Did accuse somebody a last pod episode of getting food poisoning and dying, so...
Exactly.
Maybe she ate the same thing as them.
She's not dying very fast, if that is the case, though, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, she's not dying, quote, instantaneously, so...
But yeah, so, like, she's in her room, and, like, Hideyoshi's, like, putting cold towels on her, and then goes out into the hallway to tell Rosa and Maria to go somewhere else, because they're being really loud still, and... witnesses Rosa slapping Maria about and is like, it's tough for Rosa, isn't it? And I'm like, come on. Like, literally everyone is complicit at this point, aren't they? They're all just like, yes, that is fine,
they're all
goodbye.
They were watching this really awful abuse and they're like, oh, it's fine, she's being annoying.
Yeah,
like, Hideyoshi does a lot to endear himself to me this episode. Like, he spends a lot of time like being a really good husband and like occasionally a good like parent / uncle, and then he also just comes out with shit like this, and I'm like, dude.
Yeah, and you're like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah, I understand that they might not feel empowered to like do anything about it, but I've refused to have sympathy for anybody that is willing to watch a 9-year-old be treated this way. And do nothing.
Not only do nothing, but not even, like, he doesn't even say anything like, oh, that's really awful, but I don't feel like I can do anything about it. He's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough on Rosa. I also don't know what I'd do in that situation. And then closes the door.
Like, there is a tiny part of the back of my mind that's like, this was more normalized in the 80s. That doesn't make it an excuse. That just explains perhaps why these people are more
the attitudes,
maybe.
It,
because it's
yeah.
like, this is still a terrible way to treat somebody. It's just also a bit more culturally normalized in the time when this is set. Not good enough, frankly.
No,
not good enough.
But yeah, so like Rosa and Maria end up in the corridor, and Rosa's just like, "What will it take for you to stop crying?" And she's like, "Show me. Let's go see the rose." And I'm like, "Why did it take Maria to suggest that?" And then because naturally they've already separated from everybody else, they go by themselves.
Smart.
And I'm just like, if this had been suggested, maybe what they should have done is when Maria first came down being really upset, they should have been like, let's go all of us to see the rose.
Yeah.
We'll take everyone, we'll take all the guns, we'll make sure everything's okay, and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
But no, they go by themselves, and Meta Battler is there going, no, you're going to die if you go out there by themselves. But no, they can't hear him.
No. Frankly, if I knew the epitaph and I'd been like, six people just died in accordance with the epitaph, which we know is significant, I wouldn't be travelling around in groups of two.
No. Especially with someone I was close to.
Yeah.
To be fair to Rosa here, at this point, Rosa's convinced that the six were faking.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, her and Eva both kind of agree that they think that nobody has actually died, and that's a whole setup by Kinzo to basically like pit the siblings off against each other. We know that's not true because of the Red Truths.
Red Truth, we know that they are dead.
I will accept this bit like as an explanation for Rosa's actions, because I too would be, if this was my first go round of the murders on Rokujima, I too would be going, some of these bodies are fake, because I've literally done that with episode one, so I'll allow that.
So they head outside, Maria finds the rose, and then some golden butterflies appear.
Oh dear.
And Ava's like freaking out back in the room, like, oh my god, don't let go of my hand.
She's like hyperventilating, sweating buckets, like, having a real time.
And then the Ava also appears in the garden from the golden butterflies and starts yelling at Rosa about about how she doesn't deserve a share because she is the golden witch Beatrice, and she transforms into Ava Beatrice. Yes. Fun fact, there's a really cool panel in the manga version of this scene where, like, Ava's mouth opens and inside you can see Ava Beatrice's eyes.
That's horrible!
And she, like, emerges from the mouth. It's so cool.
That sounds nasty. Really cool. And sounds well nasty.
It's so horrible. I love it. That's really creepy. I mean, this whole scene is pretty creepy already.
No, this game's lovely. I don't know what you mean.
I do, having like seen some manga panels, I do want to like shout out to all the artists that work on the manga, because Umineko manga, like, it's done some interesting visual things. This art style with the Umineko manga is like a little bit different to what I normally associate with manga style. They've like really amped up some of the like intense shadows and creepiness, and it looks great. So like,
yeah
10 out of 10.
There are some iconic faces in the Umineko manga. So, yeah, and a bunch of different artists did it. They, like, switched up artists a lot between episodes. So it'd have, so I think there are, like, three or four artists that did it, and they, like, just, like, swapped them around based on the episode. It's really cool. Yeah, shout out to the manga. Anyway, back to the game.
We see Ava Beatrice, like, basically play around killing Rosa over and over again by like ricocheting her up into, like taking her up into the air and then like dropping her down and then reviving her and like making her go through like jelly sea.
Yeah, they kind of do like fantasy deaths, like children fantasy deaths. So it's like an ocean of jelly. She gets crushed by an enormous mountain of cake and then like turns her into a butterfly and a spider eats her.
That's
the worst.
And it's all like, it's all like really like kind of like cartoony, but then like the actual death stuff is like, you know, it's played very straight. It's like really horrifying. So yeah, it's an interesting one. And Eva Beatrice is fucking loving it.
Yeah.
She is loving it because she's like, she's just completely amazed that she can defy the limits of life and death.
Yeah, because she's basically learning about magic and she's realizing that anything she imagines can basically just happen.
Also, I love how, like, in this bit, Maria doesn't say anything. So I'm just imagining her watching her mother be killed repeatedly.
Yeah, she's just like, huh. Ocean? Huh. Ocean of jelly? That's quite cool. Cake!
That's kind of cool.
This seems in line for Maria. Maria's, like, a little bit doesn't care about death.
Later it does sound like Maria gets involved in being killed.
Yeah, she gets upset when she's involved in the dying, definitely. But
Because I think Eva Beatrice has a line about she cooked them both in an oven.
Yeah.
So Meta Beatrice appears and is like, that's really unseemly of you. Why the hell are you doing this? You're like playing around with these deaths.
Well, not first, she doesn't.
Yeah, she's like having a great time watching it, and then Battle is like really like upset.
Yeah, because she's like, magic's so fucking fun, isn't it? It's great to be unshackled from the limitations of humanity, and is like really enjoying herself. And then Battle slaps her around the face. And is like, and like, fuck it, like full on screams at her. It's like, how could you like enjoy something like this? He also like, in his anger, conjures a shield around himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that knocks Beatrice onto her ass, which I think is hilarious. Also like, how did he do that? Is that because he's in the meta? Is that because he's in the meta world and like he gets extra powers? Or I'm like, that's a witch / furniture power though.
Battle's becoming a witch.
Interesting. But yeah, Beatrice then like gets really, she's like, why does Battle hate me so much? It's just a funny prank. They come back to life afterwards. Yeah, she's like, people think I'm cruel and weird.
Beatrice's like, I'm not owned.
she's like genuinely doesn't understand why he's so upset. But he's like, maybe I should listen because I don't like the fact that he hates me.
Yeah. That's the thing that's doing it for you. Okay. So she like humanely kills Maria, I think. And then I think she instructs somebody else to kill Rosa. Or does she kill Rosa herself?
I think she does both of them, yeah.
Yeah, she does both of them. Maria, she just sort of like taps and kills her.
And it, like, there's like a red handprint comes up on her neck, and then she falls over.
And then she
impales Rosa's head on the spike of the fence.
Interestingly, Beatrice says to Maria, like, we had a deal that I was going to protect you, but since I'm not in control of the ceremony anymore, I can't do it.
Yeah,
I can't do that, which is interesting.
Yeah, especially because she went on in earlier episodes about, oh, humans always wriggle out of their promises, you know, turning people into beans and stuff. But she's like, no, I will keep my promises. I'm like, I don't know whether this counts as an example of her breaking one because she technically isn't the same person anymore, like with the power to do it, or whether it's just like,
yeah,
I don't know. Should we trust her promises? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, she tries to say,
I always keep my promises.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I feel like this doesn't feel like a kept promise really, but
the letter of the law, but not
technically.
The spirit of it,
yeah.
But yes, so for the first time, Maria is not amongst the final group.
Yeah,
of people
we get a baby kill, which I predicted would happen at some point.
Beatrice
seems pissed that this kind of happened.
Yeah, because Beatrice just turned up being like, no, you should kill elegantly. You should do all that. You shouldn't be like unnecessarily cruel. You should just be like respectful and stuff, and kills them like this. And meanwhile, Ava Beatrice is going on about like, I'll never be as cruel as you are, Beatrice. Like, look at that stuff you did in the last two episodes. That was so fucked up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the background, like, sick Gideon the Ninth reference, Beatrice.
I haven't read Gideon the Ninth. It's on my list.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
But we also get character development from Beatrice. Then when she kills Maria, she says sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, she's learning about life, maybe. In a roundabout way.
Maybe.
But yeah, and she tries to get Ava Beatrice to promise that she will kill with restraint and dignity for the rest of the ritual.
Yes. And she like summons all the stakes, and Ronavane is like, you two also have to show restraint now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's not happy about it.
No.
I will say, I'm presuming that the ritual is still happening. Because even though there's a new Beatrice, she's still trapped on the island. She needs to be fully resurrected still by the completion of the ceremony.
She seems to express it like she's still tied to the host of Ava and needs to complete the ritual so that she can leave her host.
Okay.
Because I was
a bit confused for a while about why they were still killing people. I was like, surely it's finished. But yeah, no, sadly more deaths have to happen.
Yeah. Yes. So there's a lot of like conversations about the meta stuff. People come out and find Rosa.
Yes.
Yeah, because Ava original, like, seems to have like dreamt that all of that happened, so she's like freaking out. And like, I think the rest of the guest house are like, where the hell is Rosa gone? So Rudolph goes out to find them and finds them both.
Yes.
And then brings them back.
And we get the red truth, which is that Rosa and Maria are dead, and they died the causes of death that Nanjo diagnosed, which is Rosa was stabbed with the fence, and Maria was strangled.
Yeah, so the stabbing that they keep talking about, Rosa was stabbed in the medulla oblongata, which I looked up, and it's the bit of your brain that connects to your brain stem, so basically just back of the head. And so I don't know whether the killer would have to be someone like fairly strong to kind of like whack someone's head down on a fence with enough force to go through.
Depends on the height of the fence as well, I guess.
Yeah, it does. I feel like in the art as well, like Rose's feet aren't on the floor, but I'm not sure. I can't confirm that because I've not.
I mean, it could be because it's described as Beatrice floating her corpse into place.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it potentially
in the
has...
witch explanation, yeah.
Yeah, it might have to have been someone quite strong to like lift her up and do that.
Somebody who perhaps knows martial arts could do that.
Maybe.
So,
and then Maria was strangled.
With bare hands. Decides he doesn't want to argue with Beatrice because he's like mad at her for like.
He's like, I don't want to see her face anymore, she's a monster.
But she does stick around to give the truths about Nanjo's diagnosis. And Battler says, well, what if it was an accident? Maria was having a tantrum and accidentally killed her. And Rosa accidentally killed her when trying to calm her down. And then Rosa, like, was so sad she fell on a fence.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fact that people here are so blasé about the concept of Rosa, like, accidentally killing Maria, I'm like, yeah, like, I agree. She probably would do that by accident. Why are you okay with this?
Yeah.
Like, she's in so much danger.
I think
for a human explanation of this, they also comment that Rosa's gun was on the ground.
Yes. Rosa's gun had been left. No one had
unfired.
Unfired.
No one had taken it. No one had tampered with it, and it wasn't jammed because Hideyoshi like fires it to check, and so that suggests that someone came up to them and either killed Rosa secretly first so that the gun fell out of her hands, or that Rosa wasn't threatened by whoever turned up.
Absolutely.
So didn't shoot them.
Absolutely. Just all fingers pointing at Ava right now. I think we get a red truth about like Hideyoshi being in the room, and I'm like, Ava's explained the situation to Hideyoshi. She's implicating him in the murders now. She's climbed out the window. She's killed Rosa. She's like approached Rosa because they've like got this contract now. She wasn't holding a gun.
Yeah.
So Rosa allowed her to get close. She impales Rosa, and then she's like, oh shit, there's a child now.
There's
and
a witness.
A child.
Yeah, that's yeah. also what I think is probably likely.
Yes, because we do get confirmation that the deaths were homicides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's Ava,
and that's kind of what Battler suggests as well.
Yeah,
even though we don't see that conversation because Renove has it with him off screen.
Yeah,
because we're looking at like Beatrice moaning again.
Yeah, which is like a thing.
And she's like, okay, fine, ooh, just deal with him then if I'm not good enough. I'm like, well yes.
Interesting to take the stand now versus when fucking she was feeding Ava the corpse of her own... No,
Rosa.
Feeding fucking Rosa the corpse of her
own
child.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's even more fucked up the fact that she's clearly really enjoying these people dying, but she is also killing people. Like, I would have thought that more of the anger would have come from the fact that she was killing all of his family members rather than the way in which she was doing it and how much she was enjoying it. Like, Battler kind of seems to accept the fact that people have to die to have this game and stuff. I'm like, you came to that conclusion. I don't think I'd have been okay with the fact that my opponent in this game was killing people, no matter how elegantly they were doing it.
Yeah, not having it. Ava Beatrice and Beatrice Prime have a conversation about this like elegance, and Beatrice Prime is like, you've got to follow the rules of the epitaph, the ceremony, and Ava Beatrice is like, I've set a trap now, so I'm just waiting for the bait. And
yeah,
lo
because
and behold,
it's established that, because like Beatrice says, it's going to be harder now, more people have died, they're going to clump together, they're not going to want to go places separately. And it says that, so this is one of the bits I really enjoyed, was apparently, according to Beatrice, modern people reject magic more than they did in the past, which has built up in them an anti-magic toxin, which makes them more resistant to magic, and that effect multiplies the more people are around each other. Which is the explanation for basically why, like, witches were a thing before, but then the witch hunt happened and they got rid of them, and now no one really believes in them.
A lot of witches just like go to like really secluded places so that they don't get affected by the anti-magic toxin.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's hilarious, I love that.
Oh, and also guns work on witches.
Guns are the natural enemy of witches. She's like, oh, you should be really careful because you can still be shot the same way as anybody else, because you need to set up a really powerful, complicated shield to be able to block one, or use one of your furniture to like take a blow for you. But like, you shouldn't be around people with guns, and there are four guns in play.
Yes.
Which is funny. I really also like the idea that a witch can just be shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way they describe it as well, the way they describe it is that guns have a high anti-magic power.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's so funny. Yeah.
I guess they do.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then after that conversation, a fantastic line from Beatrice, because like Eva Beatrice is like, yeah, whatever. I have a way to split them up. I don't need you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Beatrice like stands there on her own and goes, not one of them gives a fig for me.
Yeah, she's having a tantrum.
She's just like full on pouting, and it's so funny.
Yeah, she's fully like, oh, I'm all by myself.
Maybe you shouldn't have stripped Fatler naked and chained him up and paraded him around to get eaten alive, and he might want to hang out with you.
No, I think maybe you shouldn't have was enough. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she should have.
I feel like if you want to make friends, you're in the wrong field.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So, lo and behold, we cut almost instantly to Kairi falling for the trap and being like, we should go and get some food.
Yeah, there's no food in the guest house. Let's go to the man's mansion, get some food.
Kairi goes with Hideyoshi Rudolph. And Rudolph to the mansion to get food. I believe all three of them have their own guns with them.
Two of them do.
Nope.
I believe. Three. Do they?
All three.
Because Kairi is carrying holding the cart, and the other two are playing bodyguard.
Three have guns because over the sequence that unfolds after this.
Yeah, they are all depicted with guns. So I believe
that's true.
That because of the extra guns in play, one of them has Rosa's gun, and then the other one has Ava's gun because she's probably just not using it, you know.
Yep.
Given that she's like ill and napping a lot.
Yes. And they just leave her on her own in that room with no alibi.
Love that.
What do you mean? That's not suspicious at all.
No. She's ill.
She's ill.
That's not a convenient excuse to be apart from people at any time.
So they all go to the mansion, like unlock the mansion, and we see Eva Triche seal off the mansion into a magical world, which means that when they go to the kitchen and Kairi is like, I can sense that perhaps we will be ambushed. They can't get out the back door, and so forced to go back through the main room.
I'm assuming in the human version that means that someone's just barricaded it from the other side, or got it jammed or something. Stuck something in the lock, maybe.
Yeah. If you've got somebody, Eva, sneaking around ready to ambush them, it would be pretty easy for her to go there first and then loop back around.
Yeah, like just basically cut off their other exit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting that Kyrie is like, yeah, I sense that something's going to happen. We're going to be ambushed now.
The vibes are rancid in here.
The vibes are rancid.
The vibes are so
Kyrie,
rancid.
Has a great vibe detector, apparently.
Which turns out to be on point, because Eva Triche and two stakes appear.
Yes. She brings Belphegor and Leviathan, so that's Sloth and Envy.
Yes. They sort of like, Kairi is like, let's split, and her and Rudolph just like make a run for it.
So Eva Beatrice says like, oh, stakes, go after Rudolph and Kairi, leave Hideyoshi alive, because they did have she had a conversation with Eva Prime. Yes. Earlier, where Eva was like, I can't believe you're doing this to people, stop killing people. And she was like, oh, I won't kill anyone close to you. I'll just kill the siblings and stuff. So she's like, don't kill Hideyoshi, that's Ava's husband. He gets to live.
Mm. Yes.
It's so nice of her.
Enjoy showdown between Rudolph and Sloth. and Kyrie and Envy. Yeah. We get Rudolph, who's seen a lot of Western movies and therefore can like shoot a gun really well. And I'm like, okay, this is cute. I like this, actually.
So we get some really characterful stuff, actually, which is great because these two usually die pretty early on.
Yes. So, our predictions were right that this is their time.
I really enjoy this. I did really enjoy this bit, I'll be honest.
It's so stupid. I love it. Like Kyrie is like, she's like blocking the Leviathan's energy sword with her gun, which can't be cut through because of its high anti-magic power. Yeah! And like,
and they're having a conversation about Envy, and Leviathan's like, I've been envious of my sisters for like 7 days and seven nights. Sick Bible reference, by the way. 7 days and seven nights. And Kyrie's like, I've been envious for 18 years and kind of.
Yeah, because we get Kyrie and Rudolph backstory.
Yeah! She's like, Rudolph killed his last wife.
No, like, oh, no, she does not say that.
If anything, I feel at this point, Kyrie has a better motive for killing his last wife.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because it's a very interesting conversation that she has here, because she manages to make Rudolph take no blame for anything that's happening. It's all the wife's fault, apparently.
Yeah, it's all the wife's fault. Real girl boss behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love to blame other women for things.
But yeah, it's basically, she was like, I was his girlfriend, and then this other woman, Battler's mum, Asumu, seduced him and like forced him to get her pregnant so that they couldn't leave each other, but I was also pregnant, and then their due date was the same day, but Kyrie had a miscarriage, so she didn't win the wife war. And yeah. Asumu had a baby, which she so that means that Rudolph had to marry her instead of Kyrie. And I don't really understand that, but okay. And then Kyrie was like, and then she died, and I was sure that it was because I was like cursing her every day.
Yeah.
Every time I see Battler, I'm reminded about her, and I'm still envious of her because she stole those years from me. And I'm like, okay, that's a bit heavy, isn't it?
This is how she defeats Envy, is because she has more envy.
She has so much more envy that Envy is who's supposed to be moving like at the speed of sound. It's just Takiri looks like is moving like a slug because of how much more envy Kyrie has compared to Leviathan.
They spend a really long time doing the maths of to see how their envy converts into speed points.
Once so again, funny. Umen Echo maths moment. More numbies.
More numbies.
They were just like, this much envy translates into this speed and this speed, and then
it also makes me really happy that Rudolph defeats Sloth because he's watched too much telly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we've got, yeah, maybe that's why he defeats, because I was thinking about this, like, Kyrie defeats Envy with Envy, Rudolph defeats Sloth with TV, so Sloth, I guess.
To be fair, the way he does it is, they have, like, a Western-style standoff, because, like, it's not really, their fighting isn't going anywhere. And,
it's going badly in Rudolph's, not in Rudolph's favor, actually, isn't it? Because he's quite wounded by that point.
Yeah, and during the like sort of Western standoff, instead of taking aim at Belphegor, he points it at Eva Beatrice.
Who's turned up to have a look.
Belphegor has to intercept the shot.
Stand in the way, basically. Yeah. So we end that section with both Leviathan and Belphegor just dissolving, basically. Yeah.
Rudolph here completely ruins what was a really fun moment by making quite a sexual comment about Sloth, he's like, oh, you were a good woman, go to heaven and get yourself all dolled up and then come back and I might marry you. And I'm like,
yeah, it's
this
grim.
Is grim. Then, this person looks a bit like a child. Like,
and then Kyrie turns up literally a second later and is like, hi, are you flirting with someone?
Yeah, I'm like, this is not show people up, is by being creepy.
I know, and I'm like, again, Kyrie, I don't think the person you should have been hating was the other woman in this situation. Clearly the problem is the guy you've married. Like,
honestly, she needs to raise her standards, I think.
She really does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, Kyrie goes down in my good books as well for a comment she makes while she's talking with Envy, because she says, like, they're talking about how Envy is important. Because it makes you stronger, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And Kyrie is just casually like, oh, yeah, and, like, girls should have a moderate amount of an inferiority complex because it teaches them about makeup and how to work hard. And I'm like, okay, I'm now beginning to see what Rudolph saw in you, you fucking creep. Like, yeah. Yeah, she's like, women will only learn about the complete nonsense of, like, the rituals of femininity if they're told they're worthless for a while. I'm like, and you're not seeing a problem with this?
Like yeah. You are so close. Keep you're going. So come close. On, come on, come on. Class consciousness really around the corner.
They really are competing for, like, worst couple, I think. Like, I feel like every couple in this game is competing for worst couple, but they sure put themselves ahead, I think.
Yeah. They're fun, and there's some ways that they're really fun in this moment, and then they're just like also sprouting just like misogyny left, right, and center, and I'm like, come on, how are you defeating the Golden Witch Beatrice with your misogyny powers? Is that how this is gonna work?
Like, really, we're doing that? Like, don't make us room for Beatrice, come on.
Yeah, so
there's so many other things to hate her for.
Yes. Yeah, like...
like all the murder she's doing.
Forcing us to look at Battler's naked arse.
Yeah.
After this, I think Eva Beatrice gets mad that the stake didn't move out of the way, and Ronave points out that she basically jumped in the way of the shot so that Eva Beatrice wouldn't die.
Yeah.
And actually she was being loyal to the last. And Eva Beatrice was like, lol, K. And summoned...
like, this furniture's shit though, isn't it? Like, whatever. So she's like, I'm gonna summon some of my own and it's gonna be better.
And... who?
Who?
Who? I have so many feelings about these characters.
So we have some iconic Umineko characters. The wonderful Chiesta sisters.
They're bunny girls.
They are.
They're bunny girls wearing tiny shorts, like skirts.
They're like, yeah, it's like faux military gear, but in the sexiest way possible, with like little tiny tops and like tiny skirts, and then their little bunny, well, quite big bunny ears actually.
Yeah. We get an art of them as they're like going to kill Rudolph, I think, of them like making a great big golden bolt, and we get like full arse from one of them, the pink hair one. They're just like complete arse. They've got like the suction cup titties going on at the like top of the suit.
Yeah, it's... they've got the this skirt is a belt, so it doesn't cover anything.
We're getting chic.
And they have their own different laugh, weird laugh. They have nee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
Oh, that's specifically the blue-haired Chiesta.
Yes. And I also think she has a sentence ender as well, I think, I noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, we're going, yeah, okay.
These characters have, like, chronic anime voice. They're like, and I'm like, shut up! Yeah. Talk normally!
And their names are Chiesta 110 and Chiesta 45. So that makes them really easy to remember.
Yeah, 410 is the blue-haired one who's, like, sassy. And then, like, Jessa 45 is like the pink head one who's like really timid.
Also, apologetic.
Also, Return of the Tory, they've got armbands with like a plus symbol on them that sure do look like a Union flag. And I'm like, they're also Tories.
Terrible.
Is there anything worse than British bunny girls who are Tories?
Although we know they drink their Earl Grey. We know it.
We know they do. It's like it's blue background and then there's a red plus sign on it. And the red plus sign is outlined in white. And it's like, this is just such Union Jack coded. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I hate them. Like, I love them. They're like my favorite design. I think they're the most like interesting looking ones because I'm a sucker for like gacha looking ass people, but also it's so just atonal with the rest of the game. I hate it.
And then like they're fully like they do their like they've kind of got this thing where they're like doing using their targeting systems and they're like accumulating data and sending it to each other and like planning a flight path for their big golden like arrow that they're gonna shoot that like winds right through all the corridors before like going straight into someone's heart. And it's ridiculous.
I'm sure that'll be the last of these characters.
Yeah, no, we're not gonna see them again. But yeah, they kill Rudolph and Kyrie, who are like running away, and then like reel them back in like a fishing line, just kind of drag it back.
Yeah, Ava Beatrice is like, well, the stakes promised to be like temperate, but these guys didn't make any promises, so we're gonna be horrible.
Yeah, she's just like, so long as I like kill them in the last way that I kill them not too brutally and then put a stake in them, I can do whatever I like in the meantime. Yeah. And Beatrice turns up and is like, no, that's not what I said. That's rude.
Is it at this point that Hideyoshi appears?
They have a bit of a conversation first where basically like, Beatrice and Eva Trice kind of talk a bit about like why Beatrice is like wants to hold off, and she's like I want Battler to like me. You don't know him because you're from parallel worlds and you can't ever meet. And so Eva Beatrice is like, well, why would I give a shit what he thinks then? And I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't have told her that.
Reasonable point.
And you know, Ava Beatrice is like, well, why do you want him to acknowledge you're a witch? You are a witch. Like, why does it matter to you? And it kind of does. I mean, she has a point. Like, why does it matter? Like, because like she's already a witch in the like meta world. So why does it matter that the real world or the game board world also acknowledges her as a witch?
Then Hideyoshi appears and he recognizes Ava Trice as Ava and runs up to her and is basically like pleading her to become his wife again. And he's like, this isn't you, this isn't you. And he slaps her several times. And I have big thoughts about this. This moment. So like on one hand, I'm like, I'm a sucker for really tend to like, come back to me. Like, I love you. Like that trope. I love that trope. On the other hand, if this is girl boss, the way like, I don't like that every time we have somebody facing up against the witch, they're like committing misogyny basically as their comeback. It doesn't feel good. Like, this is a book about female retribution as far as I can tell, and it doesn't feel good that like the women are the bad guys committing all of these horrible murders. And actually every time they're being defeated, they're often being defeated by Battler being like, slice off your cow tits and make me a sandwich or whatever he says, or Hideyoshi literally beating his wife, or Rudolph being like, go to heaven and get yourself dolled up and then come down and I'll consider taking you out for ice cream, you 14-year-old looking steak girl. And I just it there's room for complexity in media, but I don't know that this really does a very good job of having the complexity there. You can have female retribution as like this is a negative thing, but it still be like interestingly feminist. I don't think that this does a very good job of it. Like, I'm sorry, but Hideyoshi here is kind of objectively in the right, and
yeah, but he doesn't feel like he is.
Yeah, he's beating his wife, but he's objectively in the right, and I'm like, these two things don't align. They can't.
Mm-hmm. And so her response to this is to shoot him with one of the guns that she levitates out of the air, because she's like, oh, you forced my hand, I have to kill you now.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a...
My question is, who are we as the audience supposed to be siding with here?
Yeah.
Because I get the impression that we're supposed to be siding with Hideyoshi.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think Beatrice and Battler and Virgila are all siding with Hideyoshi also. And I think they're trying to encourage us here, but like, he's hitting his fucking wife. Like, that's not okay.
You have to, it forces you, if you're taking sides in this game, it forces you to take sides with some hideous stuff, no matter which one you choose.
Yeah, and I don't know what the game wants. Who the game wants you to agree with, but it is constantly putting us on the same side as Battler, and I don't know whether that's like American Psycho putting us on the same side as Battler, or it's just like this woman is evil because she's a cannibal and a murderer.
I certainly think that this game, like, it doesn't seem to mind very much about people hitting each other, is what I will say. It seems to kind of consider that a fairly neutral act, to be honest.
I guess it's interesting because sometimes it's played off as comedy and then sometimes it's played off as a really horrible thing. Like,
yeah,
Jessica with her brass knuckles versus Maria on the train. It's
like
the stakes, are very whack.
Are very different, yeah.
Depending on what's happening, and I don't.
Indeed.
I wasn't impressed by this scene being like the witches are being defeated by misogyny, basically. Kyrie being like, women should feel inferior, that's how they become good women, and Rudolph
then wins.
Creepy. And then Hideyoshi hitting his wife. Like,
it seems out of character for him as well. Like,
it does. But maybe it's not.
But maybe it isn't.
I just wasn't wild about this depiction as like how these people are retributioning on the witches. Fun as it is to have like Kyrie with her one-liners and Rudolph with his like fucking westerns, because I'm a sucker for cowboys. I wasn't having it.
Yeah, find some better ways of taking revenge, guys. There are so many.
Or novel, hit visual novel Umin Echo, give me a reason to be like siding with, like, give me some slack here. Do you want me to like these people? Are you excusing this misogyny? I'm struggling.
I'm gonna say this. I don't think from most points in the game we're supposed to like any of the Ashiramis. But that's my personal take.
No, but also you want them to win. And
do you?
Yes, because the alternative is Murder Witch. I want...
Connie's like, and? It's like, why don't you want the Murder
Witch? I don't see the downside here.
Yes, okay, eat the rich. Agreed. Not literally, Beatrice. Not literally.
Uh,
Well, let's move on for now. I think that's a very interesting discussion you guys have had. I've tried to just sort of stay out of it for a bit.
I understand.
To not.
Maybe things.
Because I think this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe things will develop later, or you just disagree with us, and that's okay.
I will say my one of my takes involves around the fact that I don't like kind of any of the Ushirimiyas as people.
Oh God, no.
Yeah. So when they do horrible things, I'm like, yeah, it's the Ushirimiyas.
Yeah. valid point, indeed.
I just also am really struggling to side with Beatrice.
Well, that's your loss. Anyway, I think this might have happened.
Eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, baby.
I think this might have happened earlier, but I think it's important to bring up. Beatrice and Virgilia have a conversation about Beatrice's strategy.
Oh, yeah.
About how Beatrice has been working like the north wind, but she should be shining down like the sun.
Yeah, because she points out that, like, Beatrice's goal isn't to completely break Battler, it's to make him accept who she is. And she can't, like, because she's now completely broken him down in the last episode, he's now going to do whatever he can to not accept her. So she's essentially, like, hardened him against herself.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of grit and determination you get when you believe that your enemy is, like, objectively evil. And sadly, what Beatrice did last episode is do a lot to convince both me and Battler that she is objectively evil. Sorry, Queen.
She's
sashay away.
Sashay away.
Beatrice is like still can't really get through to Battler. The real Battler on the chessboard. They go to the mansion and sees the
they find the bodies.
They find the bodies.
Yes,
everyone's freaking out. Ava's like losing it now that Hideyoshi's dead.
Iconic, because one thing that we've been bringing up a lot has been about grief. Iconic scene here between Battler and George. Battler's like accepts that he has to cry this time. He's not like, oh, I'm being really girly by crying. He's like, I'm okay. It's okay, Aniki. Let me cry just a little bit longer. I've got it the best. I should be the least sad. So if you let me just cry a little longer, I'll be fine. He's like accepting that he has to grieve the death of his parents. But then Battler and George have a like victim contest.
Yeah,
where they try and like pretend to say the other one's got it worse.
Good. It's so
it's like,
good.
But both of your parents died, but your girl, like your girlfriend, your fiance died. That was worth more. And I'm like, you can both cry, you realise. You don't have to decide who deserves it more. Like,
yeah.
Another
L for Battler and George. What the fuck? George says, that isn't true. I can understand how much it must hurt your heart to have lost both your parents. I still have a mother. That's much better than what you're going through, Battler-kun. And I'm like, all right. We're gonna
like, if you want to waste energy on this conversation, guys, you go for it.
I am holding down the control button. I am not reading. Like, I'm not having this. Do your victim competition somewhere else, gang. You're all on a murder island, trapped with an evil witch.
It's like, I think you all actually deserve to be a bit unhappy.
Yeah, that's allowed.
So, Beatrice, it's like, I'm an approved battler that I understand what you should use magic for.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, calls out to George at the guest house and is like, hey, listen, I can revive Shannon if you come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Battler's basically been like, Renove basically says, I'm not standing in place of Beatrice anymore, you're going to have to speak to her. And he says, I'm not speaking to her, so I just won't have an opponent until she realizes, like, what, like, that life is worth something, mm-hmm. basically. So she's like, I know how I can do this. I'll revive Shannon. Yay.
We'll bring back the best couple. Everyone's favourite couple, Shannon and George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, absolutely love that whenever I type his name, I accidentally spell George as Groge.
Groge!
And I think that suits him a lot better.
Groge.
Groge is like, I would sacrifice half of my remaining life for another minute with Shannon because she has made me so much better. I'm a much better man than I was before. And I'm like, yikes, who were you before? So you're not good now.
Yeah, what the fuck, George?
So, yeah, George is like, flies out the window.
Yeah. With his newfound magic powers.
Yes. And flies to the mansion. They sort of sneak past Ava Beatrice, who's gearing up for some more murders.
With the bunny girls. Gonna go after yes. Krause and Natsui.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they go to the parlor where Shannon's corpse is and use magic to revive her.
And it, like, yeah, he, like, Beatrice casts the ritual and George uses his love or whatever to, like, beckon her soul back from the land of the dead, and then her wound heals up. And then, like, she comes back to life and they, like, hug and it's disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with a non-magical explanation for this. Like, someone has tempted George out here, maybe?
Yeah.
His mom?
Or even just possibly. It's because, like, it's even just possible that George was like, because he hasn't been allowed to see Shannon's body. He might, and he talks mm-hmm. about that, and it might just be that he wanted to go and see her enough that he just snuck out by himself.
There is yeah. a note about the window being closed.
Yeah, the windows are all locked from the inside in the guest house. So it suggests that if he did go out, someone would have locked it behind him.
Which maybe. Could just be, you know, someone... you know, thought it was a bit chilly and closed the window. But
or
no
it
one
could
seems
be
to
like,
admit to that.
Yeah, that's suspicious.
That's why it's a bit suspicious.
But yeah, the Chiesta sisters finish killing Krause and Natsui through
the
door and, like, drag the bodies outside. Which implies in a human kind of version, that those two would have left the house. Their
they
own
like,
volition,
strangle them
probably.
With golden rope.
So how they got out, because the door was still locked from the inside, I have no idea, but it, yeah. And they've actually, in what we've read, they haven't been found yet. So more light may be shed on that.
Yeah,
later.
I want to know where Ava is right now.
She was with them, and then she started falling asleep on the sofa and choked on her spit a little bit, which is one of the most relatable things she's ever done. So she goes off to the bathroom to, like, she goes to, like, wash her face and grab a coffee while they're being murdered, and then comes back into the lobby and goes, no one's here. I think I'll just stay, though, which is quite sensible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still like, I'm full Ava culprit pilled at this point. I think, yeah, we're pretty clearly being indicated, both in the, like, the witch version of events and in, like, who has alibis, what happens. I think Battler, like, has a moment where he's like, maybe Nanjo. I'm like, don't do that.
I think Nanjo's suspicious in the fact that he doesn't have alibis for any of the murders.
Yes.
But I think it is much more likely that Ava has killed everyone after the first six people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what I would go for. And that her motive is essentially, if she kills Rosa, then nobody knows about the gold. And then if she kills the rest of the siblings, then nobody is around to take the gold off her. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she would have killed... I'm guessing, like, maybe she killed Hideyoshi if he, like, noticed what she'd done.
We have the upcoming death where we see George getting killed by the Chiestas.
Yeah, because they realise what Beatrice's been doing and kill him. And I don't know why Ava would kill George.
I'm still convinced that, like, Ava implicated Hideyoshi, like, got Hideyoshi to lie for her about Rosa and Maria's deaths. Hideyoshi is part of the going to the mansion party, so Ava is, like, starting to get, like, more and more paranoid. She kills Rudolph and Kairi, and then is like, Hideyoshi's like, dude, you gotta stop killing people now. Like, you're not the woman I married anymore. You've lost yourself to madness. And she's like, I changed career path.
And then he slaps her, so she's like, I'm gonna kill you now.
Yes, which first time we've actually seen somebody use the gun to shoot somebody who was being annoying, which is something people have been threatening since episode one.
We knew it would be Ava who
did that. Yeah, we did! Alpha
but
Hideyoshi,
I think when we return to the George Shannon situation, I think because essentially the Chiestas turn up, they re-kill Shannon and they kill George at the same time.
Yeah.
I think what probably the human version of that is that George snuck out to look at Shannon's body. She never came back to life because her chest wound, the wound that she got when she died, reopens when she's killed again. So, like, nothing's actually changed with her body. And that someone just killed George while he was there.
It'll be interesting to see if Shannon counts as one of the Twilights, whether she ends up being staked when they find them.
Yeah, I suspect not, but also with the numbers, George shouldn't be staked either because he's not one of the Twilights. Natsui and Kraus should have been the last ones.
I don't know whether the murders we're getting now are completely off-piste and actually don't follow the epitaph. They just happened to have gotten two people at once last time. Whether Ava, human explanation, Ava is just killing people because she's trying to defend the gold because she's like that.
Yeah, I don't know why she would have stakes. For her plan, that makes little sense, but apparently she did because Rudolph, Kirie, and Hideyoshi were all stabbed with them.
Found them in the gold room.
Yeah, maybe.
Was like, hey, these are useful.
But yeah, and the Chiestas also attempt to shoot Beatrice, who's in there as well, exhausted from having done her ritual.
Yeah.
But Virgilia steps in the way and gets killed instead, and they don't realise. Mm-hmm. And what I'm confused about, like, obviously none of this happens in the human version, but even in the witch version this doesn't make much sense because Virgilia's already dead on the game board.
So she says it herself that she didn't die, she's like a captured piece.
Yeah, so... but then she like puts herself back on the board to get killed again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you allowed to do that? I don't feel like you're allowed to do that.
If a pawn moves all the way across the board, it turns into a queen.
Yeah, but not if it dies first.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Not if it's taken first.
Can't stop moving if it's dead.
Yeah. So I thought that was a bit strange. But yeah, basically, Virgilia kind of like sacrifices herself to let Beatrice get away.
I'm accusing Ava of all of these murders. I think we will need to finish this episode in order to, like, solve exactly how she does them.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. Are you accusing her for the first six as well, or not?
No, I think that is the ritual. Those are the only ones that are, like, ritual killings. And then the rest is, like, Ava going on a murder rampage so she gets all the gold.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm getting drawn more and more into it and ending up killing her husband and son as she goes because she's trying to protect her future or whatever it is.
I don't know why she would end up killing George.
Yeah, true.
Because he's not, presumably, near where Natsui and Kraus are going to be found. We don't know this. But, like, yeah.
Unless she goes, she finds George weeping over Shannon's body and is like, what the fuck? Why would you marry furniture? And then kills him.
Possible.
Because we already know that Ava's very tilted about the idea of George marrying Shannon.
Or just has a completely full break and is like, actually, I don't want anyone, including any of my family, to have any of this gold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's believable considering
good for her
history.
Yeah. So I'm just going to literally get rid of anyone who would have. That implies that because we end with a final five / final four because George is dead also, of Nanjo, Ava, Jessica, Battler, and then dead George. Jessica and Battler surely would have to die as well for her to make sure that there were no Ushurimiyas to inherit any of that money.
I'm not convinced that Ava won't.
You might as well
kill
just
everyone.
Kill Nanjo while you're at it.
Yeah.
And yeah, like may as well just kill everyone.
It is easier to get away with murder if you don't have to blackmail anybody into lying for you.
Yeah. We haven't finished the episode yet. Maybe that will happen.
I think that's a reasonable prediction. Unless a new twist occurs and there's like extra things.
But yeah, our reading ends with them heading to the mansion to investigate. Yeah. So.
Yes, because Ava at this point, unless she's the killer, does not know that George is dead.
Yes.
Because they're trying to find him and Natsui and Kraus because they're all missing.
Dun 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 dun.
Dun 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 dun. A lot of guest house content this episode.
Yeah, we did say we wanted that, and lo and behold, we've got several new little arts for the guest house and for the hidden VIP room and stuff, so happy about that.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
And that's our reading. Next episode, we will be finishing this episode, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, imagine.
And we'll be coming up with more merch ideas. my favourite episode... Lots of girl boss action. Oh, and I almost forgot to do this. Ava Triche, what a fucking queen.
I hate Ava Triche's laugh for what it's worth.
It's so good.
It's even more so unhinged than Beatrice's, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Makes sense, because she's even more unhinged.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there, but yep.
I would like to point out also, I have one theory written on my theory document that we haven't discussed, which is there are no more than 18 people on the island. And I have two bullet points. One says someone's a robot. And the second says it's Genji, confirmed.
It's Genji.
It's Genji.
We know this.
It's Genji from Overwatch.
Yeah, from Overwatch. Genji is a robot and has killed them all.
I've solved Ubin Echo.
Echo.
Maybe Shannon's a robot and that's how she gets resurrected, is they like fix her wiring,
reboot her. How would you you'd in 1986 would the technology be there to fabricate those huge badonkadonkers though?
Maybe not. They are
everything else, yes, but the titties,
huge badonkers. Sometimes I'm reading Ubin Echo and I'm sat in a call with my friends and I'll like stream it, and I have one friend who's like really, really enjoys Shannon, and I think I need to stop talking to that person.
Oh dear.
I'm like, you have no context for this. You just saw a maid with huge badonkers and latched onto her, didn't you? Oof. Before we end this episode, is there anything anybody else wants to say? Or I do have a final closing thing that I need to get off my chest.
Give me the final closing thing. Hit me.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make a formal apology to both my co-hosts and to the listeners, and also to Maria, because I've been listening back to past episodes and constantly I will refer to Shannon as Maria. We caught me once when I was talking about Maria and George when I meant Shannon, but I do it all the time in past episodes.
That's so funny.
It's in character with me and my incompetence, my inability to pronounce Natsui or Kairi or Kildorian or Urashima or any of the
I
other
love that
stuff.
You call it Kildorian, like it's someone called Dorian who we need to kill.
Yeah, it's because I love the name Dorian, so every time I'm like, I want this to be cooler. Anyway,
I'm sure not helped by the fact that there are a million characters in this game.
There's so many people to remember.
And like at least four of them are called Beatrice at this point.
Yeah. little bit more easy to remember because actually I just say the word Beatrice and I'm probably right. whereas like I say the word Maria and it's like I've got a 1 in like 26 chance or whatever it is at the moment to get it right.
More than that, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, just a formal apology to anyone listening who was confused by me being like, and then Maria does this. Sometimes it's Shannon. She just looks like a Maria. In my head, that's what a Maria should look like. But yeah, I need to set the record straight. All women look the same to me. sometimes they've just got little baby voices. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You and Hideyoshi both need to send out, you both need to send out your notes app apologies.
Yeah. yeah. Not another notes app, please. got so much to apologize for.
On that note, said we'll be finishing up episode 3 next time. Please follow our Twitter at Hidden Tea Party, and the rest of our socials are in the description. Thank you, and good night.
Bye.